Good day and welcome to The Conqueror, and we trust that you will stay tuned as we present to you music and a message concerning the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. This broadcast is being brought to you through the cooperation and fellowship of Christians from the Savannah Gospel Chapel. Our earnest desire is to reach you with the good news that Jesus Christ is living, and that today, with Him in control of our lives, we can become more than conquerors.
Love me, bought me, save me, cleanse me. That's what He did for me. He bore sin, shame, gave me His name. That's what He did for me. God so loved me, gave His Son. Now that I believe, life for me has begun. Cleansed me from wrong, gave me this song. That's what He did for me. God so loved me, gave His Son. Now that I believe, life for me has begun. Cleanse me from wrong, gave me this song. That's what He did. That's what He did. That's what He did for me.
Morning. Reading from Hebrews chapter 12, the first three verses. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction or hostility of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. The writer of these words was seeking to exhort and encourage Hebrew Christians of the first century. They were having a rough time. The Christian pathway, they found, was no bed of roses, not a picnic, but a conflict. The race course was filled with obstacles. There was persecution. Some were thinking of giving up and going back into the fold of the Judean religion, with all its ceremony and ritual. But this was unthinkable. This would be a compromise of the truth of the gospel. It would be a denial of the Lord Christ, the one who was not ritual but reality, the one who was not shadow but substance, the one through whose finished work there was salvation full and free. And so the writer seeks to encourage these Christians by
First of all, bringing before them the great example of faith and endurance on the part of Old Testament saints. He mentions these faithful men and women of Old Testament days who believed God, stood true for God in days of declension, apostasy, and persecution. They accomplished great feats of faith. They quenched the violence of fire. They stopped the mouths of lions and so forth. But some of them were called upon to suffer. And they suffered much. Trial of cruel mockings and scourgings and bonds and imprisonment. But they endured these things because of their faith. That is, they saw the end. They knew that glory would follow suffering. They knew that God would vindicate them and honor them and reward them. Then the writer passes from this noble band, whom he calls a great cloud of witnesses, to a greater example of endurance. He brings before them the Lord Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He says, "For consider him that endured such hostility of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." He goes on to say, "Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame." Now I'm sure that we are aware of the fact that death by crucifixion was indeed frightening. The historian Josephus called it the most pitiable of all forms of death. Another one, Cicero, said it was the most horrible way to die. It was a punishment reserved for criminals of the very worst type, for the offscouring of the earth, for slaves, for those who were guilty of sedition and rebellion. When these men faced death by crucifixion, I am sure they would shrink back in dread and horror. For to be crucified would mean intense, excruciating pain and agony. They would not die immediately, but they would hang on these instruments of tortures and know the cramp and the nausea, too much pain for any sleep, no unconsciousness, just throbbing pain and agony, moment after moment, hour after hour, yea, day after day. And then there would be an overpowering cramp in the chest because of the position of the body. And to relieve this pain, they would twist and turn and writhe on the cross, gasping for breath. Yes, crucifixion meant much in the way of pain and agony, but also much in the way of intense thirst. I remember back in World War II how men who were crucified always craved for water. Sometimes, because of the nature of their wounds, only their tongue or their lips could be wetted. But they craved water. I'm sure that these men who were crucified, whose tongues would swell, whose lips would become parched, who would be under the blazing sun during the day, would crave water, but there would be none. I understand that the Turks used to crucify their victims along river banks, the water so near, yet so far. But not only did crucifixion mean great pain, suffering and agony and intense thirst, but it meant reproach and shame. In fact, the real reason to crucify was to shame and scandalize the person as he died. They could have been put to death with one blow of a sword or one thrust of a spear. But no, it was a long, drawn-out death during which shame and mockery would be heaped upon these men. It was an ignominious death. It meant dying in indignity. When the victim's strength was gone, when his head finally fell on the chest and the knees bowed outward in grotesque fashion, the soul would leave the body, or heaven or hell, but the body would be left upon the cross to rot or to be eaten by the vultures. No funeral, no memorial service, no honor. In fact, these men were compelled to carry their crosses to the places of execution. Along the way, people would gather to jeer and to laugh at them. The emphasis, we say again, was on shame and degradation. Now think of it. Men decreed that the Lord of glory should die such a shameful death. He was the sinless Son of God from heaven. He went about in Israel doing good and bringing blessing. But they said, "Away with him, crucify him." Picture him in Pilate's hall, brutal soldiers crowding about him. King of the Jews? A king ought to have a crown. And so they twisted a crown of thorns about his brow. A king ought to have a robe, and they put a purple robe over his shoulders. A king ought to have a scepter, and they put a reed in his hand. A king ought to have subjects, and they bowed the knee and said, "Hail, King of the Jews." But all this was in mockery, for in the next moment they rose to their feet, and they beat him with the reed, and they spit upon him in gesture of contempt. And they scourged him. The blood and the flesh flew through the air as they brought that cruel scourge upon the back of the Son of God, the one who was the Lord of glory. Then picture him as he bore the cross through the streets of Jerusalem, crushed beneath the weight of the cross, the blood soaking through his clothing on a Jerusalem street, incarnate deity, and the crowd staring and looking at him in what they thought was his humiliation and his defeat. And then picture him at Calvary's cross. They would put a sign, a placard, over the head of the man crucified, and then it was the custom not to stand there in pity, but as the caravans came along the highways and byways and passed the place of execution, they would jeer and mock and hate those who were crucified. And so they did concerning the Lord of glory. Picture him there, hearing the mockery and jeers of men. Now, did he have to suffer these things? No, he could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. But he despised the shame, that is, he regarded it lightly in view of the end. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. What was the joy? He could see the end, a redeemed company of people in heaven, praising him forever and ever. He could see you and me saved by his grace in heaven forever. And the hymn writer has said, "He and I in that bright glory one deep joy shall share, mine to be forever with him, his that I am there." If you are a Christian and the obstacle course with all its trials and troubles is rough, may you turn your eyes upon Jesus. Remember what he suffered at Calvary, and may you go on and not faint in your mind. If not a Christian, trust him today. Our God, bless this word. Bless the gospel concerning thy Son, and may some be saved today and Christians be encouraged. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
We thank you.
Shepherd calls the high head to find that travel. And that little love.